Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 072819. 072819. You got to have it. Coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 through 23. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." I want to try to preach from the subject, you've got to have it. You've got to have it. Bible scholars generally agree that the 15th chapter of Corinthians is one of the most important and crucial chapters in all the Bible. It addresses and answers the critic who denies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though upon visiting the tomb that early Sunday morning by the women and receiving reports of his body lying not there within, it was difficult for people to believe that Jesus had arisen as he said he would. After his resurrection, he stayed around Jerusalem for some 40 days prior to his ascension as a testament and to give proof that he was the risen Savior. In spite of the fact there was no discovery of his body and no one really knew of his whereabouts, people refused to believe that Jesus had risen as he said he would. So one of the things that Paul had to do in his ministry was to make known through the gospel message that Jesus is real and resurrected. Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus of history, was also the Christ of faith. He was who he is and will always be who he has always been, Jesus the Christ. He is the living and the loving Lord. Paul wanted those to whom he was writing throughout his epistles to know that Jesus is real. May I ask you something? Do you really know that Jesus is real? We intellectualize it, but I'm not so sure we have internalized it. Jesus is real. I know that Jesus is real. Jesus, to me, is just as real as he was when King Nebuchadnezzar saw him as the fourth one in the burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus is real. Jesus is just as real to me as John the Revelator portrayed him when he said that his eyes are like flames of fire, his hair like lamb's wood, his feet like polished brass. Jesus is real. And I'd have you to know that it is a truth in my experience. I would that it become your truth as well. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And I used to preach this, and I may have said it earlier. I used to preach this in my growing ministry. And see, you preach a whole lot as you grow, but then as you become more mature in the faith and get older in the Lord Jesus Christ and become much wiser, you really, 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 really understand and know the greater truth of some of the things you said 20 years ago. A long time ago, I used to hear the elders say, and I would say that every day, with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I preached that in my 40s. In my 60s, I know it's true. And so therefore, you want to get as close to Jesus as you can, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So Paul wanted those to whom he was writing know that Jesus is real and Jesus is resurrected. Here, writing to the church at Corinth, he wanted to remind us that all of us are going to die. Are you framing that? We're going to die. We did not come here to stay. We're going. Now, this is an old preacher sermon. Let me tell you that right now. This is an old preacher sermon, because nobody doesn't get up in the pulpit anymore talking about folk dying. Old preacher sermon. But we're going to die. And Job said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days, and the few days that we're here are going to be days that are filled with trouble. We're going to die. So what Paul is wanting the church at Corinth to understand that, yes, we're going to die, because Adam died. As in Adam having died, so will we die. But then he goes on to say, but that's not the end for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The story does not conclude at death for us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we might die, but praise his holy name, because Jesus got up, we're too going to get up one of these days. Because Jesus arose, we're too going to rise up one of these days. Because Jesus lives, we too are going to live eternally within a world that has no end one of these days. Yes, we may die, but we will live again. Let me say that again. Yes! Earth, ash to ashes, dust to dust will become our earthly destiny. But our destiny does not conclude at the grave, because later on in that same 15th chapter, he says that Jesus has taken the sting out of death. He's won the victory over the grave, and we shall someday live with him, because he got up, we shall get up. He says, as in Adam all die, so even in Christ all of us shall be made alive. So one of these days, my beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love the Lord, if you are born again, if you are a follower of him who is the way, the truth, and the life, Paul wants us to know, and I serve reminder and serve notice to some of us, that we too shall live again. Oh, folks used to say every day gonna be like Sunday, every month like the month of May. No more hearse wheels gonna be rolling, and no more doctor visits, and no more prescriptions that we have to have fear, because we're gonna live eternally in heaven in a glorious new body. However, if you are to live again eternity, there's some things you got to have. It's just not a matter of being birthed on planet level. It's just not a matter of living day after day and waking up and breathing God's fresh air. There's some things you got to have. You got to have if you're going to live eternally. You've got to have if one of these days you want to behold the presence of Jesus. You've got to have if you want to see those sainted dead who've gone to that land from whom no one returns. Some things you got to have. And the first thing you got to have is a prepared life. All right. If you want to see Jesus again, if you want to be resurrected, if you want to get up from the grave, you've got to have a prepared life. Every Wednesday, I try to send out a tweet on love, give encouragement to people to love. And every Sunday, I try to send out a tweet on the church and worship and whatnot. So this morning, I sent out a tweet that said, preachers used to declare with holy boldness, you are lost. Today, preachers declare you are loved. Watch this, Dr. Jameson. Watch this, gentlemen. Right. They used to say you are lost. Well, preachers don't preach that anymore. Rather, they say you are loved. Both is a great truth. But I promise you, there's more conviction in knowing that you are lost and you're bound for hell than it is to say you are loved. Because you see, when we say repeatedly you're loved, somehow inherent within that is a permission that you can do anything you want to do And God gonna keep on loving you. You can treat folk any kind of way you want to treat folk, and God's gonna keep on loving you. You can be mean spirit, have an ugly attitude, do whatever, live any kind of, and God's gonna, yes, God's gonna love us. But I've got to tell you something, my beloved. I don't care how much God's going to love you. If you are not saved, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hear him saying, depart from me. And God does not send anybody to hell. We choose hell because we choose not to live a prepared life. Let me ask you a question today. How many of you are prepared to die? I told you this is an old folks sermon. Young folk don't want to hear this. How many of you are prepared to die? If you knew that before you get home, that you would be snatched from life unto death, what changes you have to make? What would you have to stop doing now that you've been doing so long so that you'll be all right when you face the judgment? You know, I say some things in Bible study, and I'm getting a better boldness about me to say it on Sunday morning. You know, when I was growing up, they used to say, I ain't got to do but two things. So much. Oh, somebody heard that say, and but two things I got to do. Stay. Where'd that run back to? Huh? And but two things I got to do. Stay black and die. No, there's a third thing. You got to face the judgment. You've got to face the judgment. And your destiny at the judgment will either be hell for the unbeliever or heaven for the believer. I don't know about you, but I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to die. I you heard the choir singing. I told Reverend Jameson, I said, when at my homegoing service, when they celebrate my life, I want our joint choirs to sing it just like you sang it here this morning. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in glory. You can say whatever you want to say about me, but I know I'm saved. You can talk about me however you want to talk about me, but I know I'm saved. You can listen to gossip and rumors about whatever. I know I'm saved. I'm prepared. Are y'all praying now? Come and tell me, are y'all praying now? Nobody can take my salvation away. Are you prepared to die? Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. If I were you tonight, if I had not a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd cry out for salvation. And the only time you are absolutely sure of is right now. I don't know for sure I'm going to finish preaching this sermon that I'm preaching, because I've known preachers to die preaching in pulpits. There is no guarantee that you're going to be able to get out of the seat where you're sitting and make your way back home. Many have died in church. Many have been called away before they could get back home. The only time you're absolutely sure of is right now. I ask you again, are you prepared to face the judgment? You are lost without Christ Jesus. Back on 1032 Monticello Street, the late baptizing pastor, Reverend T.T. Marsh, was lying to him. Late Deacon Horace Mickens, chairman of deacons, or Deacon Julius Brown, Randy's granddaddy, would sing to him. And they would sing that hymn with such conviction that you were afraid that if you didn't come up and join the church, you go die in a hurry. That awful day, 661 common meter, shall surely come. The appointed hour makes haste when I must stand before my judge and pass the solemn test. Thy lovely chief of all my joys, thy sovereign of my heart. How could I bear to hear thy voice pronounce the sounded part? Can I tell you something? I would not want to live the kind of life to go through some of the stuff that you got to go through down here on planet level. Deal with all the stuff that you have to deal with from one day to the next day. I would not want to live here and be challenged and find myself trying to wrestle with that and deal with that and then die and go to hell. It makes absolutely no sense to live in hell and then die and go to hell. I told y'all this is an old preacher sermon. If we are to rise again, be resurrected again, live eternally with Jesus in the heavens on high, we have to have a prepared life. Are you prepared to meet your maker? If you're not prepared, don't leave worship today. If there's any uncertainty, if there's any doubt in your mind about where you're going to spend eternity, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today. I'm going to have some of my intercessors, some of my deacons. We're going to stand around here. Don't leave here today if you're not certain of where you're going to spend eternity. If you have not secured your eternal address, you got to have it. Not only do you have to have a prepared life, but you've got to have a prayer life. And I'm not just talking about occasionally praying. I'm talking about a prayer life. You see, a prayer life helps us to keep our focus. A prayer life helps us to keep God first. A prayer life helps us to keep perspective. If you are not kept in focus as it relates to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so easy to lose perspective. And when you lose perspective, you have a way of making some bad choices and some wrong decisions. And then you find yourself upon making one bad decision, making another bad decision, and then another bad decision. Then after a while, God, you will find yourself at a place where God did not intend for you to reside. Lost! Not so sure how to get back on the right track. That's why you got to have a prayer life. And a prayer life that does not just exercise itself when you get in trouble. You ought to pray when everything is going well. You ought to thank God every time he does something for you for which you've already asked him for. When he does something for you that you don't even ask him, you ought to pray. Even if you ain't got nothing to ask him, you ought to pray in praise. The wisdom of our elders has always been to pray. Old folk used to pray, and they taught us to pray. It wasn't by accident that they taught us at Grace to put your hands together and say, God is great and God is good, and we thank him for his food, by his hands we're all fit, give us, Lord, our daily bread. That wasn't just a little cutely exercise. When we went to bed at night to get down on our knees, put your hands together and say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep it, if I should die before I wake up, pray the Lord my soul. That wasn't just a cute little exercise. All folk wanted us to begin when we were small, developing a prayer life. I was almost moved to tears this past week when my 2.5-year-old grandson, R2, prayed the entire Lord's Prayer. I mean, he couldn't hardly say temptation. But he prayed the entire Lord's Prayer. What is that all about? That's about developing a prayer life for our children when they're yet in our arms, when we're yet holding them up, teaching them to pray so that when they get older, they'll know how to talk to God. So when they get older and the troubles start coming, the problems start mounting, they have already established a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because some of us don't pray. And because we don't pray and then get in trouble, we try to call up God. God said, who is that? Are you hear what I'm saying? See, prayer is about strengthening and sustaining our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to learn to pray. just a little talk with Jesus make everything all right. If you want confidence in your prayer, then develop a prayer life. And then when you pray, you can pray with expectations. Because from the time I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was praying. And I know how he's already answered this prayer. And he answered that prayer. And he took care of that for me. And he looked out for me there. And there I was. And he brought me out from it. So here I am now facing something right now. I'm not scared of what I'm facing, because I know what he's already done. He's able to do it again. And how many of you can testify like I testify, that just when I have needed him the most, he's always stepped in right on time. He is a prayer answering God. He is a prayer answering God. Teach our children to pray. Develop prayer lives in our children. Don't let them go to bed without knowing that they're praying. Yes, it's old timing, but it works. Yes, it's from an old preacher, but it's good for us. Teach our children to pray. Develop a prayer life. Because I promise you, you're going to need it. You won't need to know how to get a prayer through. You want to know how to make contact. You want him to know who you are. And so when you get him on the line, that's my daughter called it. That's my son trying to make contact with me. You need a prepared life and you need a prayer life. You got to have it. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, you'll all be made alive. If you are to be made alive, you've got to have a prepared life. If you're going to be made alive, you've got to have a prayer life. And then finally, you've got to have a praise life. Got to have a praise life. See, the psalmist says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And when we praise God, y'all, we're really not showing off. We ain't trying to say something to somebody else because we're praising God like we are. But we're trying to show God. When you praise God, understand it from this perspective. When you praise God, you are showing God that you have joy. Oh, let me say it again now. You are showing God. When you praise God, you are showing God that you have joy. Things might not be going well for you, but you've got joy. I had a real hard week, but I've got joy. You don't know what I just went through. Because when you look upon me, you see joy. That's what praise is all about. I'm not so sure how I'm going to get out of what I'm into, but here I am in church on Sunday morning praising God because I got joy. When I look in the near future, my near future seems to be rather bleak and dim and dreary, but that's all right. I don't care how difficult tomorrow might be. I've got joy. Is there anybody in here who can say, out of all the things I've been through, I still... Let me say it again. I still have joy. What about over in the second section here? Can you keep your joy? What about in the third section? Don't you let the devil steal your joy. Don't you let adversarial circumstances take away your joy. You might be having some problems on your job. You might have been laid off from your job. You might not know when your next job is going to come. But don't let the devil steal your joy. When we praise God, we praise God to tell God, God, I still have joy, and this joy I have. can't take it away. Do you have the joy of the Lord? You need a praise life. Then the psalmist saying 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I need you to help me to close this sermon. If the Lord has done anything for you, stand on your feet and praise him right now. If you were sick at one time and he healed your sick body, stand on your feet. Praise him right now. If you ever were in a financial strait and he brought you out of your financial disaster, stand on your feet and praise him right now. Can I tell you about Charles Bless Jackson Sr.? I can't stop praising him. I can't stop praising him. Stop praising him. He's been so good. He's done so much. He's made so many ways. He's opened so many doors. Yeah. I invite you to Jesus today. Come on, choir. I invite you to Jesus today.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 072819. 072819. You got to have it. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Please put this in library. Give us a call. Come by. Visit us. See us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. And we just love for you to come by and be a part of what we're doing here at Brooklyn. We also want to invite you to Youth and Teens Day. It's right around the corner. If you have not registered or if you have not seen what these young children are doing, we encourage you to come by and be a part of it. Youth and Teens Day. I want to take this opportunity to get a word from our pastor. Hello, Pastor.
Hello. I am Reverend Charles B. Jackson, senior pastor of the Brooklyn Baptist Church. I want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast. Consider joining us at our weekly service, 8:15 a.m. or 11 a.m. If you would like to contribute to the ministry of building the next generation of believers, please go to our website at www.brooklandbaptist.org and click on the giving icon. We look forward to meeting you and your family in the future at Brookland.